I'm Mark Simpson, and this is Intersection. Do you own a guitar? Well, it's one of the most iconic instruments in music history, and the Orlando Science Center is paying tribute to the guitar this summer with its exhibit, Guitar, the Instrument That Rocked the World. We'll talk with developers of the exhibit and an expert on the guitar. It's the sixth string, and sometimes more than that, as we pick apart the history and influence of the guitar. That's ahead on Intersection. And I'm joined by Jeff Stanford of the Orlando Science Center. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with us. And Eladio Sharon is Associate Professor of Classical Guitar at the University of Central Florida. Eladio, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you.
It's great to have you guys both in to talk about the guitar. So, Jeff, I want to start with you and ask, you know, why the guitar? You know, I'm a woodwinds guy myself. I play flute and saxophone. How come the guitar and not one of those?
Yeah. Well, you know, the guitar is just one of the most iconic pieces that we have, not just in music, but just in American culture. And there's this belief out there that the two most iconic images in American culture are the electric guitar and the Coca-Cola bottle. So there is something enduringly American about the guitar, but it also has an impact on world culture. And for us at the Science Center, there is this wonderful science lesson going on inside the guitar. You know, the tension of the wood and the strings and how it's shaped and how it sounds and the different materials that you use. And so it's a very fun way to teach science. And that's what we try to do at the Orlando Science Center, is we try to take things that people are excited about, people are interested in, and attach the science to them. And when the concept of this exhibit was brought to us, it just seemed like a great fit of music and science and history, and just a great opportunity for us to explore.
Now, Eladio, where do you see the guitar coming in the pantheon of musical instruments throughout the ages, and has it kind of risen to a higher place as time has gone on?
Well, I will say absolutely. I think many great artists, not only the contemporary artists, but the guitar as an instrument have been with us for a very long time. But I would say that the 20th century is really significant for the history of the guitar. And we have to give credit to people like Andrés Segovia and Miguel Llobet and many others at the beginning of the century to make the guitar popular to mainstream composers.
Segovia, certainly one of those mm-hmm. performers that brought the guitar to wide audiences.
Yes.
Tell me, why do you think the guitar is so popular? Is it harder to get emotion expressed through the guitar? Because I think of a woodwind similar to the voice you're emitting through the body. The guitar, though, you're having to pluck those strings. Is it more difficult to get an emotive sound and sense out of that guitar?
Well, I think the guitar is many instruments at the same time. And if I may say, the guitar is an instrument that is easy to carry. When you take the guitar's popular music instrument, it's very easy to learn just a few songs, learn a few chords. Now, when you try to do things that are more for a soloist, like we do in the classical guitar, and then it becomes quite complicated. But the spectrum of expressions that are possible on the guitar really incredibly big. Yes.
Now, Jeff Stanford of the Orlando Science Center, this exhibit that you've got going on traces the history and the evolution of the guitar. It includes replicas of 5,000-year-old guitars and precursors of the guitar from different parts of the world. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. And that's what's cool about the exhibit, Mark, is we do look at the evolution of the instrument, and we're going back, you know, 5,000 years of some of the earliest string instruments, and some of the pieces on display that we have is we've got like the oud from Mesopotamia and the lute and the lyre, which a lot of people know from ancient Greece and Roman times. You've got the timbre and, the Niyatidi, and these are all stringed instruments from different parts of the world, and so it's interesting to see how they evolved in the different parts of the world. But we all had that desire to pick up an instrument and strum it. So it's interesting to see how it evolves from those pieces on into the guitar that we know as today.
And we've got some of those queued up here. Here's the Nyatiti from East Africa. Let's give a listen. Now this is made a little bit from a gourd, is that right?
Yeah, most of the early stringed instruments were the base of it was gourds, because those were the resources that they had available for them.
And this is an African instrument.
Yes.
And of course it reminds me of kind of almost a kora like sound, another kind of African instrument that you hear.
Yes, types of harps actually.
Yeah, a type of harp. Now we've also got a couple instruments from the Middle Eastern region of the world. This is the tanbur. Well, you can really hear the percussive attack of that instrument there.
Yes, and it is. Always very fascinating to me to hear these ancient instruments and then hear, their modern equivalents. But there's something really beautiful about all the different ones and the different sounds that are coming out of them and how they were reflected in the music of their time.
What do you hear in this, Eladio?
Well, this instrument comes from the Middle East, right? And, of course, what I hear is what happened later in Spain, for example, with flamenco music. So if you listen to flamenco guitar, I mean, really good player, let's say Paco de Lucía, you're going to hear some of those strumming chords and, kind of aggressive attacks here and there and so on and so forth.
You know, that's a really good point to talk about the influence on Spanish guitar, because when the Moors occupied mm-hmm. Spain, it's believed that they brought this instrument with them, and then the Spaniards adapted it into the guitar as we know it.
Now, Eladio, you were just talking about flamenco, and we've got kind of a flamenco-influenced piece here. It's actually you performing, Eladio Sharon, performing the Concerto del Sur for a guitar. Let's give a listen to that. There it is. There's that flamenco sound you were talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is the classical guitar.
Well, this is the classical modern guitar, if I may say. And this piece in particular was written by Manuel Ponce, a Mexican composer that wrote almost all his guitar music for the great Andrés Segovia. This particular piece, that title, Concierto del Sur, makes reference to the music of the southern part of Spain, but it's just a metaphor. It's not really Spanish. It's many more things than that, of course.
Now, it's interesting, the classical guitar, popular in Spain, this style is hugely popular in Central and South America, too. It really did spread through those continents.
Well, the many variants of the guitar arrived with the conquerors since the early 16th century. So, let's say variants, for example, like all the Mexican types of guitars that you see with the mariachi, for example, the Venezuelan cuatro, the charango in Bolivia, all those are variants of the guitars and vihuelas, another type of instrument. Actually, there was a copy of a vihuela at the exposition at the Science Center. And that's the instrument that the Spaniards would play at the courts instead of playing the lute that was played in the rest of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's quite similarly shaped to a guitar. Yes.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. We're talking with Jeff Stanford of the Orlando Science Center. He's telling us about the exhibit Guitar, the Instrument That Rocked the World. We're also joined by Eladio Sharon, Associate Professor of Classical Guitar at the University of Central Florida. I'm Mark Simpson. Do you play guitar? What draws you to it? Tell us about your first guitar experience. Go to the WMFE Facebook or Twitter pages. You can email us at wmfe.org/intersection. So we were just listening to some of those flamenco stylings of the classical guitar, but there's even more at this exhibit that you've got going on. You've got an instrument from China whose sound, to me, really conjures up. You see some of those kind of martial arts films. This, is, I believe, it's called the pipa. So let's give a listen to that. What can you tell us about this, Jeff?
Well, what our audience can't tell is that my voice is moving faster than my lips right now. It, to me, just like Eladio said, it's amazing to see, you know, the instrument and the evolution of the instrument and where it rises in different places and how the different parts of the world play and the different sounds. So I do think, yeah, the pipa is instinctively Asian, it sounds like to me.
Let's listen to this a little. Now, I've seen some videos of this. This is someone with some insanely fast fingerwork doing those trills. That in there. That, Eladio, illuminate us on how you do that.
Well, it's funny because, you know, it's music from far away, if I may say. But again, I have to come back to the guitar. We have the same techniques on the classical guitar that come also from flamenco guitar. And that is a technique that is quite similar to what we call the tremolo technique. You know, the famous piece by Francisco Tárrega, Recuerdos de la Alhambra, use that technique in particular. And actually, I have to mention that I saw a film not so long ago, a Chinese film from the late 90s, The Emperor's Shadow. And the central character actually plays another instrument that is quite similar, not in shape, it's kind of rectangular. I think the name is Qin or Qin, something like that. But it's played with the fingers like a guitar. It makes, you know, it's like a guitar from 3,000 years ago, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating to hear that. And then finally, as we work our way around the world, there's one of the most famous instruments, most famous sounds now even in popular music, the sitar, this Indian instrument, which, of course, was made so famous in the 1960s with the Beatles. Ravi Shankar, right? Mm-hmm. Already, I think the conversation has been elevated, right?
Yes, I feel my consciousness raised already.
You know, the thing that's so fascinating, if you get to see the exhibit and if you look at a picture of a sitar is a many, many stringed instrument. This is way beyond six strings.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, many of those strings are used for sympathetic resonance.
And explain that for us.
For example, you can hear in the background, I forgot the name of the other instruments.
Kind of a drone in there?
Yes, there's a drone in the back. Those are instruments that are somewhat similar to the sitar, but are just played with the open strings only, just to provide this background sound, right? Whereas the sitar, I don't know the technique, but they mainly play our one string, right? And they go up and down through the fingerboard, which is quite big.
It's quite long. And there's a gourd attached to the bottom of that, too, right?
Yes. Two of them, right?
I believe so.
The bottom one at the head.
Amazing, the variety of sounds that come from all these stringed instruments.
I would agree with you, Mark. And I think that's what's really exciting about the exhibit is just the expansiveness of it and the exploration of the evolution of a sound. And for me, it's exciting to see all the different instruments all over the world, all over history, and then they converge into what we know as the modern guitar. But it also, I think, speaks to our world culture's need to express themselves through music, and I think that's really exciting, and I think that plays out through the exhibit as well.
Yes. Well, I have to say that. After seeing the exhibit and, of course, listening to this Indian music, that we can say that the 60s were a very important period, you know, with all the, those cross-cultural relations that were created during that time. You know, just to think about the Beatles alone, we could do many programs, of course.
A huge influence there. Now, Jeff, part of the exhibit's goal is to teach science, the science of sound and acoustics. And I'd like to get both of you to talk a little bit about, you know, how the guitar works. We know you pluck the strings to do it, but there's some more science besides that.
Yes, yes. You know, there's everything that science at work, from the selection of the wood that you create the guitar to the choice of its strings. You know, it's a very elaborate instrument that can produce some very complex sounds, but it's everything from the shape of the body to how you pluck the strings, again, to the type of material. In the electric guitars, there's electromagnetism at work. And then, of course, with electric guitars, there's also, you know, the amplification. So it is a really fascinating lesson in science.
Eladio, talk to us a little bit about the differences, I guess, between what a variety of wood can do to an acoustic guitar. How much effect does that really have on the sound?
Well, it depends on the guitar maker.
Always in the skill of the craftsman,
well, you know,
of course.
We were talking before about, just before the interview, about some of the woods like that are preferred for some instruments like the Brazilian rosewood. And some of these woods are really in danger of extinction. And another wood that, for example, with classical guitars in particular, is favorite is for the back. I'm talking about the size and the back, okay? Besides Brazilian rosewood is the Indian rosewood. Mm. And then you have other variants like Madagascar rosewood and so on and so forth.
Do you hear differences in the tone of those different rosewoods, or is rosewood rosewood?
There are differences. I would say, for example, there are great makers, contemporary makers, that would prefer to do guitars with Indian rosewood because the tone is a bit mellower, I would say, whereas the Brazilian has a kind of a more a punchier type of response. But the most important, for at least for acoustical guitars, the most important part is the soundboard. So that's
and that's the front of the guitar,
yes,
that we
exactly
would see.
Yes, yes.
And so what woods are used for that?
The traditional wood has been for a very long time on the classical guitar, European spruce. I mean, people call that German spruce, but it may come from the Italian Alps.
So pine.
Switzerland, yes, yes.
And cedar too, right? Is that right?
A wood that is called Western Red Cedar, which I think is different from the cedars that we know in Europe or the Middle East. But that from the 1960s, especially the house Ramirez in Madrid started to, I believe they were the ones that started to do the guitars with this type of soundboard.
Now, when we talk about these differences in the woods, is this something that the average person is going to be able to hear, or is this fairly nuanced? Is this in the ear of the beholder, so to speak?
We have a display within the exhibit that has four different types of woods, and it's a very basic activity, but four different types of woods, and they take a little mallet and they hit each one.
You can hit it,
and you can hear that the each wood makes a different kind of sound,
has a different resonance.
Yes, and so that's just a really basic activity to explain what might be going on when you're using different types of materials for your guitar.
And from where you're sitting, Eladio, is that nuance? Is it fairly pronounced?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's art is like food, you know, or food can be like art, I would say, you know, at the high level. So I think the most important thing is to be able to be open and taste it. And music in general, I would say that music can be easy or difficult. Actually, in general, I would say that music is quite abstract. But if you try to understand everything, then you're not going to taste it. You have to taste it and then try many forms and then let yourself go. And little by little, you're going to discover more nuances, of course.
Now, there's also, we've been talking about the woods. The strings are also a key component of this. Does string type really have that much of an effect on tone?
Actually, yesterday I was at the exposition, and one of the boards was talking about the advent of nylon strings during the 1940s. And prior to that, you had wire strings, and you had also gut strings,
yes,
for example, that were made of from the guts of animals, like goats and so on and so forth. And actually, one parallel would be the sport of tennis. So not so long ago, you had tennis rackets that were strung with gut strings as well, whereas nowadays most of them are synthetic. But from the 1940s, mid of the 1940s, new products were invented, derivatives of petrol, you know, of oil, and that, such as the nylon. And that was a revolution. Yeah.
Well, of course, we've been talking about guitars and all different sorts of stringed instruments. You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. Share us your guitar memories on the WMFE Facebook and Twitter pages. What was your first guitar? What guitar do you want? There's still a lot out there. There's always one to try on the wall if you go to the local music store. You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm Mark Simpson. I'm joined in the studio by Eladio Sharon, who's Associate Professor of Classical Guitar at UCF, and also joined by Jeff Stanford of the Orlando Science Center. So the electric guitar evolves out of the acoustic guitar, but I understand that the lap steel guitar actually was kind of crucial, making that kind of leap forward, and we've got a sound of that right here. Now, I'm already wanting to put on my luau shirt and have a fruity beverage, but what can you tell us about this, Jeff?
Well, you know, it's like it shows that it's a great aspect of this exhibit is showing the progression from the traditional acoustic guitar into the electric guitar. And we have so many displays that are just kind of like a step-by-step history of it. And you see every variation leading to the next.
And so an important step here was the development of the pickup, right? The electric pickup that is wound with wires and magnets that allowed the signal to be electrified. Is that right?
I'm going to defer to the expert here.
Oh, thank you. Although, not so thank you, because I'm not that much of a specialist. You know, what I can tell is that I know that, for example, in the American tradition, you had guitars that were part of the New Orleans jazz style, you know, during the 1920s and before. And basically, their function was to be played with chords, strum, to be part of the rhythmic section of the combo of that time. And then eventually you had the rise of guitar players that became more virtuoso players, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one particular name, he's not the first one, but maybe one of the first soloists to be known in jazz guitar was Charlie Christian.
Sure, Charlie Christian, and one of the first acoustic amplified
there was
guitars,
one
right?
example of with one of the guitars that had one of those pickups, the early pickups that were used. That was not the first, but and I think that's already in the 1940s. But prior to that, of course, you have the lap guitar. You know,
that kind of evolved. Yeah, I think that was an inspiration for Leo Fender to get into the Stratocasters, the Telecasters, those kind of guitars.
Gibson's Les Paul, for example, another big guy.
Well, Jeff, you have a number of famous guitars at this exhibit, and I was wondering if you might be able to tell us a little bit about that. I know you've got famous electrics and you've got famous acoustics, and here's just a sound of one of these famous kind of acoustic stylings. This is actually from Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page, and this, I understand, was a famous model of guitar by Martin.
Is this the Martin Dreadnought?
The Martin Dreadnought, yes, that's it.
This is an amazing. This is an amazing guitar, and actually, the Martin Dreadnought 28 that we have on display within the exhibit is one of the more valuable guitars that we have on display. And when you see it in display, it's beautiful, but it's very simple. And when you look at it, you wouldn't believe that people would consider it one of the finest guitars ever made. But it came out at a time when all the conditions were right. You know, everything came together to create this perfect instrument.
And what's the value of it?
It's $100,000.
$100,000 for an acoustic guitar. And what is it that makes it so special?
It was described to me in the same way that what makes a certain vintage of wine valuable. It was the materials used. It was the time that it was made. It was the craftsman that put it together. It was just everything came together just right to make, at the time, what was viewed as the perfect guitar. So at the time the Martin Dreadnought 28 was produced, it was considered the finest guitar of
kind
its
of the,
kind.
The flagship of acoustic guitars,
yes.
If you will.
Well, you know, my specialty, of course, is classical guitar, and as part of the exhibit, there was a copy of a Torres guitar from the middle of the 19th century. And that particular maker was very significant in the evolution into the modern guitar, of course. And you can have guitars, classical guitars, that are very valuable. Now, this one name in particular is associated, or many names, several names are associated with Segovia. And Hermann Hauser the First was the main guitar maker of the first half of the 20th century, yes.
Well, we've got a few more famous guitars to kind of go through here, and I want to cue this up. I think a lot of our listeners are going to recognize this. This is, of course, the James Bond. And that is a guitar called an Essex Paragon, which was played by Vic Flick on the theme.
Yes, it was. And the James Bond theme is considered the most heard guitar riff in music history. Something like a billion people have heard this, and all the James Bond films, and all the recordings, and Vic Flick's guitar that played this riff is on display in the exhibit. And we had the pleasure of having Vic with us when we premiered the exhibit. It's a beautiful piece of an instrument.
Wow, and I understand it's kind of a hybrid, acoustic electric.
Yes, it is, and it was amazing to have Vic with us to show us how he came about that guitar riff, and he was working with John Barry, who did the James Bond theme during Dr. No, and they needed something to kind of kick it up a notch, and that's what came out, and it's amazing that Vic, who came up with this most famous guitar riff. And ended up playing on the soundtrack of A Hard Day's Night, the Beatles film, and did some work with Henry Mancini and Tom Jones, is not really well known beyond his music. So
yeah.
It was great to discover this through the exhibit.
Well, we've only just got a short little bit left. We've got actually some Johnny Winter electric guitar here to play in the background. But I wonder, just Eladio, give us a few brief thoughts. What do you think is next for the guitar, now that we've walked it all the way through from its ancient roots to the modern? Where's it going in the future?
I think there will be guitar everywhere. You just go to the internet, you watch YouTube, you find so much information. So who knows? You know, there are things to be discovered. There are things that have been done that need to be discovered or rediscovered. So the possibilities are limitless.
All right, as Johnny Winter is wailing in the background here. I want to say thanks so much to Eladio Sharon, Associate Professor of Classical Guitar at the University of Central Florida. We're going to go out with him playing some more classical music. And also thanks to Jeff Stanford, who's spokesman for the Orlando Science Center. He was involved in developing the exhibit Guitar, the Instrument That Rocked the World. Jeff, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And we should say this is on display through September 11th. The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at wmfe.org/intersection. Support comes from our listeners and from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I'm Mark Simpson. Thanks for listening.